Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You know, it's about damn time we had ourselves a good Thursday night football game, although for anybody that was a Bucs backer or any of the props that were on Tampa side of things, not really the ending you were looking for, right? I want to apologize in advance here. I gave out some props for Chris Godwin, Bijan Robinson. Yeah, nothing hit. No, it was that last night was one of those moments, right? Like there's some people that are just like bettors and aren't really sports fans. I mean, you are, but like it's all focused on the betting. A lot of us, right, it's kind of a combination of both. You're a sports fan, you want to watch a great game, but you got some money on a couple of things and you want those to hit as well. Last night with the Falcons and Bucks was a great example to me, and probably to anybody else, of that emotional imbalance that you may have in a game where you're sitting there and rooting for bets to hit, props to come through for you, whatever the case is, but also just excited to actually watch a Thursday night football game that was worth watching. I mean, other than week one, obviously, with the Ravens and Chiefs, which technically they don't even count as Thursday night football. It's the opener or whatever stupid name they have for it is. It was a game last night that had you on the edge of your seat until the very end, as opposed to watching the Patriots not be able to score or go down the list of bad teams over the years, not even just this year, that we have had that are just so bad on these short weeks. I bet the under pretty much every single week. I knew by about the end of the first quarter, the under ain't hitting in this game. It just wasn't going to happen. And I'll go right back to the well most likely next week and the week after, because you generally see offenses struggle on those short weeks, getting out of their rhythm, not just getting the full week that you need to prepare, whatever the case is. Guys need a little more time to recover, right? Physically. As the season goes on, we'll definitely have more of that. Kirk Cousins and that Falcons offense looked like they had weeks to prepare. I'm more of a Kirk Cousins apologist than a lot of other people. I saw what he did in Washington, broke a lot of franchise records, and always thought he was a good quarterback that did definitely have issues in primetime moments. And it looked like last night that was going to be the same thing, where it's Cousins throwing an interception, thought the game was done. Newest episode of Game Day Garage. You'll see the reaction. I'm going, hey, this thing's over. It's up on YouTube, by the way, and on Instagram. If you want to check out a short version or the long version of that episode. Yeah, shameless plug there. But, you know, you're watching it going, oh, there's Cousins again. Throwing a pick, prime time. Yet they get the game to overtime, and he throws the game-winning touchdown. 509 yards passing and four touchdowns. This is what the Falcons offense was envisioned, right? It was they're a quarterback away. They signed Kirk Cousins, and it's, now we've got all the pieces we need. But when you watch Cousins now and the way that things are starting to click with the Falcons, you can be more comfortable taking a lot of props, a lot of overs for all of these weapons they've got in Atlanta that you maybe weren't comfortable with at the beginning of the season, right? I mean, Cousins is getting everybody the ball. It's not just about lining up and shotgun and pistol and not being able to move because the Achilles isn't really there. And I'd argue the Achilles is probably still not 100%. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend that that's actually the case, that I know for sure. But what I do know is numbers don't lie. Performance doesn't lie. And what we saw from Cousins in this game last night shows us that it's starting to click with that offense. There's chemistry with the talent that he's got around him. And I'll tell you what, if this is what we're going to get week after week from the Atlanta Falcons in terms of spreading the ball out, all of these targets, and the opportunities that they generate offensively, where they're always in a football game, Falcons can compete with anybody offensively. How can you not say that at this point? I mean, how many offenses in the NFL are you more comfortable with week after week, taking the, you know, over on the team total, the over on a bunch of different, you know, props, depending on who the receiver actually is, whether it's receptions or receiving yards or whatever the case is? There's not many. Like, there's really not right now. And on top of that, Darnell Mooney, that is going to be an over on receptions every single week for me until further notice. He had 16 targets last night, 9 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. When you start to see a quarterback in a new offense with a new team, it takes a few weeks sometimes to figure out like where the chemistry is and who the favorite receivers are. Now, Drake London got plenty of targets, had a monster game last night, too. Again, Cousins is not going to throw for 500 yards every single week. You're not going to get multiple guys with over 100 yards receiving. It's not going to happen every single week in Atlanta, but there's the threat of that every single week. But you know these quarterbacks, some of them have their guy, right? They look around and say, I trust him in these, you know, third and long situations. I trust him to make a big play for me in the fourth quarter when we've got to keep this drive alive. And as talented as Drake London is and as excited as everybody's been about Kyle Pitts getting more opportunities, saw the targets early after literally doing absolutely zero, goose egg, nothing last week. It become very apparent to me that Darnell Mooney is somebody that is going to get targets, opportunities, and I don't think the market is going to adjust too much too quickly on that either. If you go back and look at Darnell Mooney's game so far this year, Mooney had, let's see, so we go to 88 yards against Philadelphia. You're going to go 66, Kansas City, 56 against New Orleans. Those are solid numbers, right? Then you see that 9 catches, 16 targets, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. You're going to start to see more and more opportunity every single week as that goes. You're looking at the targets were 3, 7, 8, 6, and then 16. That stuff clicks. Kirk Cousins is going to remember that. The coaching staff is going to remember that. They're going to draw up more plays for him. So every single time now, I see Darnell Mooney props, I'm taking the over. Especially if it's a very receiver-friendly matchup. That is a great, great opportunity there. Because even though it happened on Thursday night, and there was a national audience, and people are watching and all that, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to be sitting there rushing to bet Darnell Mooney props week after week. That's somewhere I'm going to be betting every single week. Though I will say, and it's very concerning, where the hell is Bijan Robinson? First 2 weeks of the season, 122 and 111 total yards, right? I'm not worried about him just being a guy that does things on the ground, but he's also he's a threat out of the backfield as a receiver, right? Okay. Well, how about now the last 3 weeks? 77, 74, and 52 total yards for Bijan Robinson. Did I take the over 3.5 receptions? Absolutely. Did he finish with 3? Absolutely. Did I want to throw something at a wall? You're damn straight I did. But this is somebody now that with all of the other threats, I guess you could say, in terms of what the Falcons bring to the table, we may see less of Bijan Robinson. We may see him getting a split amount of touches, carries with Tyler Algier, with him used as a receiver, but still not even going over his receiving yards last night. So I thought when Raheem Morris got to Atlanta, and he talked about it a lot in the offseason, it was going to be all about, okay, we're going to get Bijan Robinson involved more. How could we not? First 2 weeks looked like they were absolutely going by that game plan. It's not the case now. We're not seeing that. And again, spread the ball out. You got a lot of weapons. That's a smart way to run your offense if that's the case. Ride the hot hand, whatever it is. But if you're looking at props, Bijan's a stay away from me. Darnell Mooney is a guy I'm going to take the over on his receptions every single week, longest reception, and then I'm taking the under, and that's it, right? Like, I'm taking the under on Bijan if it's anything. I hate taking unders with guys that are still really talented. Because that's the thing too, right? If you're going to bet an under on somebody and they have the potential, like a Bijan Robinson, to go off in any game, you know what happens. You bet that under, And then he goes off and you're going, okay, well, I just completely wasted my time now. So that's the situation that you run yourself in. But right now, Bijan's kind of a stay away for me. He really is. I have been basking in the glory. We talk about, right, like being emotionally invested in your team. Mike Brown and I were talking before the show here, video producer of this, and he's, you know, it's like, hey, being a fan of a team, a lot of it involves suffering. Like, you got to suffer. You got to deal with it. From a fan perspective for me, Jaden Daniels being the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year is, it is a weird, weird situation for somebody like me to be in, to actually watch my team, the Commanders and their stupid name, getting positive attention, being part of something other than dysfunction and a bad owner and, you know, all the stuff that goes on with that. I look at Jaden Daniels now, and I thought last week might be the week against, you know, the Cardinals, where comes back down to earth a little bit. I'm worried about him against Cleveland's defense a little bit, but I'll tell you right now, he is going to run away. If he continues the pace that he's on, he has a chance to run away with the Offensive Rookie of the Year, because the Commanders are also winning right now. And that defense has now improved. So if you've got a defense and a secondary that maybe suddenly no longer becomes this like slump buster of a defense, because that's what they've been, right? Said it every week. It's like you take the over on whoever the number one receiver is facing Washington secondary and their slot receiver. Receptions, receiving yards, whatever the case is. But when you're actually sitting there and you're looking at now what they've been able to do, they're locking guys down. Dan Quinn's DNA is now starting to get pushed into that defense. And they're figuring this thing out. And they're not what Dallas was when it was in his prime, but they'll take some of those risks. They'll go out there and try to make plays. And I sit here right now, and I watch Jaden Daniels. Malik Nabers looks like he's going to be out this week with a concussion, so that's a week that he's going to miss. Just because you miss one game doesn't mean that you're going to lose out on the Rookie of the Year race. But it's tough for me to be comfortable with somebody like Malik Nabers when Daniel Jones is your quarterback. And yes, he's played better over the last couple of weeks. But at any point, could Daniel Jones fall off a cliff? Yes. I think we all could agree that could be the case. Nabers is still sitting there at plus 450. Really, the only value right now in the Rookie of the Year market, Offensive Rookie of the Year, because Jaden Daniels, you're not gonna bet him at minus 185. You missed the boat on that. You need him to struggle to get back in if you're actually like that market. Marvin Harrison at 6-1 and Caleb Williams at 7-1. Again, I think Jaden Daniels is on pace to, and that trajectory is telling you he's getting closer and closer to running away with this award. But in no way am I going to rule out somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr. And in no way am I going to rule out Caleb Williams, who has now shown ascension and growth every single week. So he still does look better. Just the first couple weeks were bad. It was like, dude, threw for 93 yards. That is not the type of debut you want when the hype and the spotlight is real on somebody like Caleb Williams. The only players that I would look at right now, this week as we sit, Offensive Rookie of the Year, is you'd have to look at maybe Marvin Harrison at 6-1 or Caleb Williams when they're serious value at 7-1. But Jaden's running away with it. There's no point in even getting into that situation right now. It feels kind of, right? It feels kind of worthless. Real quick, too, before Lucy comes on with us, Devontae Adams, obviously there is a market out there. The Jets are the heavy favorite, minus 150. It feels like he's probably going to the Jets. If there was ever a team, like, to me, there's nothing worth betting there. The Commanders at 5-1, I mean, maybe. All this really depends on price, right? There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to go after Devontae Adams. The Jets make the most sense for me because, one, we know he wants to play with Aaron Rodgers again. Two, the Jets are in a spot where their window is very, very small. It's maybe 1 year with Aaron Rodgers. Well, what does a team do that's been horrible year after year after year, and then they finally have an opportunity, and that window is just kind of cracked enough for them to actually make some noise in the postseason? You make desperate moves. Look at the Browns and Deshaun Watson. That was as desperate of a move as you could possibly make. But that is what desperate teams do when they're used to being in the losing end of anything. And then they finally have an opportunity. There's a reason why the Jets are the favorites at minus 150 for Devontae Adams. There's no real value in that market. But the only other team that I would maybe think about, maybe, would be the Chiefs making a move in there at 12-1 because of all the injuries they've got at wide receiver and Patrick Mahomes having to deal with what he dealt with last year. But we've also seen the Chiefs come in and say, we don't need high-priced receivers to win a Super Bowl. So it just kind of feels like at this point the Jets are inevitable for Devontae Adams. But remember, the Raiders don't have to send him where he wants to go. Ask Damian Lillard. Didn't want to go to Milwaukee. Best offer from Portland was a trade with Milwaukee. So there you go. All right, Lucy Burge jumps on with us. I'm reeling from last night, Lucy. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. A lot of props didn't go my way. Bucks money line. I will say this, though, on Game Day Garage, which my dog Dewey picks before every game, though it's not live. We tape it and put it out there. And, you know, it's like a little reality show kind of feel. It's up on YouTube right now. I'll plug it twice. My dog is 5-0 picking Thursday night games. I am not. I love the Bucks money line. Thought it was going to be good. And then when it's all said and done, Kirk Cousins goes from Kirk Cousins that we used to see a lot in primetime to the hero. When you yes. watch the Atlanta Falcons now, do you see a team that has a ceiling that's now gotten even higher, given that, like, we're seeing that chemistry start to build up with Cousins and the rest of that offense?
Oh, I agree completely. Also, fading your dog, Nick, don't do that. My goodness. 5-0? Jeez, that's impressive. That is impressive. I am now going to look out for what your dog is picking, because that's pretty impressive. Don't feed your dog. That is why I took Falcons money line and was very pleased with the results of this one. Yeah, I did not take the Bucks. My strategy now going forward, though, Nick, why I took Falcons money line, because I have been fading the public, just hard line fading the public across the board, except when it comes to the Detroit Lions. And that actually has been working out for me pretty well, too. But I took Falcons money line basically because of where the bets were going and what the sports book needed. But then, of course, you watch the team and you're like, oh, this was the right move. Maybe it did take overtime. But still, I was very pleased to see that. But this is a team I will consider betting going forward.
When you look at, like, the props market for the Falcons right now, to me, Darnell Mooney and the 16 targets and the 9 receptions, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns, like, we saw that. It's clear Kirk Cousins loves throwing him the football. Yeah. Is there anybody, maybe it's Mooney, maybe it's anybody else, that you kind of look at week to week, you trust in taking overs in that props market? Or is there a concern for you that it might be kind of an offense where it's ride the hot hand, let's see who gets the ball this week type of situation?
It would probably be more of that situation a week to week, where I would look to who to target week to week going forward. But I would look at Mooney probably.
It's crazy to think, too. Like, this is a guy that was kind of run out of Chicago, and now we're like, oh, okay, I guess this is I guess now he's kind of found a home when it's all said and done. Hey, what do you think about this Patriots mutiny that might be happening now? I know that's probably so. What the hell is going on up there?
Yes. So a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos going on with the word mutiny, which is now being thrown around. So, yeah. I mean, are we surprised? No, I'm not shocked. Like, if there was actually a mutiny going on, I'm not shocked about that. But so it began when Evan Lazar, reporter for Patriots.com, he works for the Patriots. He said on a podcast, he said right now they are teetering on a mutiny in that locker room. Then, Nick, the podcast was taken down. Drama. So one might assume maybe the Patriots said, take this down. We don't want this out there, or it's not true. Don't say these things. Take this down. He then goes on the radio last night and said, oh, I got carried away when I said that. I didn't really mean that. There is no mutiny. But one thing to look at this for, Nick, is that he said teetering on a mutiny. He didn't say there was a mutiny. Mm-hmm. So could they still be teetering on a mutiny? There's no mutiny right now, but could they be on the precipice of one? Then this morning on WEI, on the Greg Hill Show, Jelani Tavai goes on and says, it's definitely not like that in the locker room. I actually think the past few weeks has brought the locker room closer together, especially on the defensive side. We have a lot of leaders, all that stuff. So I wouldn't be shocked if there is a little bit of, I would say, is mutiny a strong word? I think it's very specific. I think it was a specific word that Evan Lazar chose to use for a reason. But I think there's definitely, they're disgruntled. They're not gruntled, they're disgruntled, this Patriots team. So I think that there probably are sides being taken, and it's not smooth sailing in that locker room. There's definitely something up. Something is up in that locker room.
See, that's my concern there. Well, not really concern. I don't really care either way, because I just bet the under every single week, team total. Yeah, it's like, it does kind of feel like where there's smoke, there's fire, right? And it just kind of feels like, for an organization that's not used to being in the basement, that's what we're watching from them this year. Should I just be taking unders every single week, whether it's Patriots team total or the actual game? Because, well, this weekend, I definitely am in on the under with those two offenses seeing each other.
Yeah, under team total, under game total, under wins this season, under minutes, I will be watching the game. That's one as well. It's just boring. What a snooze fest, Nick. This is insane. But also, good point about where there's smoke, there's fire, because what Evan Lazar said was they're teetering on a mutiny. I was in that locker room on Sunday. So firsthand experience he is using to use the word mutiny, which is, I don't know how you say, oh, you know what? Actually, I was kidding. Like, just kidding. This doesn't seem like a just kidding. This seems like the Patriots said to him, take that back, because undo what you said, because it's not true. Not true. So basically he was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that, but he did. He meant to say that. It was a choice.
But it's funny though, you mentioned like,
I do wonder, Nick, if you are muted. I don't know. But in any event,
sometimes so we're back there. I don't know if you heard what I said, but I was desperate.
I did not.
Okay, good. Well, I feel like the Jets are in a desperation position right now. They're the heavy favorites to land Davante Adams in a trade that we know is inevitable somewhere at some point. Does it feel like it's inevitable that Davante Adams ends up with a desperate Jets team?
It does feel like that right now, based on what Aaron Rodgers is saying. Oh, I'd love to play with him, and that I can't say anything because of tampering. My only question, and I think the Chiefs it's another good option, as you mentioned, because you wonder how long Davante Adams is looking to play with the team that he is to be joining, and how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing. So Patrick Mahomes be probably playing for a while. Maybe Aaron Rodgers playing for a few more years himself. Who knows? But the Jets make the most sense, but that would be my only question.
I know you love the tea. I know you love when there's any type of drama, and I can always count on you to have all the information and be deeply rooted in whatever drama is going on with any team around any sport. Does Aaron Rodgers already feel like he's just tired of everything going on with the Jets?
It seems to be, and I wonder why he did shove Robert Saleh. I don't know why. And he was like, oh, yeah, he's not a hugger, right, so ball. I didn't. But like, what? He's like, oh, I didn't expect him to come in for a hug, so I pushed him? What? Oh, we were just, it was just an inside joke. That was weird, very weird. So something's up with that, too. As you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. So it just doesn't happen between friends. You know, if you get along with the guy, I think he's a little bit sick of it. He's a little bit sick of it. So, I agree. I think there's something up there as well, and his frustrations might come out in his comments going forward.
This was inevitable. We expected this, and this Jets team, the Jets are still going to jet when it's all said and done. Although the Mets haven't meted as much, right? Mike Brown, what team right now in the baseball playoffs, in this postseason, Mike Brown just pops on just to give a thumbs up as a tortured Mets fan for his entire life. And I said, listen, I know what it's like to root for teams that suck every single year. So for the Mets to even be in this position now is a huge boost, I think, for everybody in that fan base. But from the betting side of things, what team do you trust the most right now that's left in the postseason? If I said, Lucy, here's a free bet, but you got to bet on one of these teams to win the World Series.
Oh, the Mets. I already have the Mets to win the World Series. I'm very excited about it as well. I already bought my Halloween costume. It is a Grimace Halloween costume. Either way, I'm going to wear it for Halloween. But I would take the Mets to win the World Series. That is my pick. They have little things that you think, oh, that's stupid. Like, you know, Hawk to a Grimace. And now the playoff pumpkin, don't you know, Pete Alonso has a pumpkin with him now that he bought in Milwaukee. And it's working. All this stuff is working. I believe in this. And I think that will carry this team to the World Series, potentially against the Detroit Tigers, and then win the World Series.
All right, what's the five-star play of the day for BetQL?
Yes, five-star play for this weekend. Rams +3 against the Packers. The last time the Packers got a road win against the Rams was 2012, excuse me. And the Rams could get a bounce back cover after losing by 6 to the Bears last week. Packers are coming off of a loss to the Vikings. So the BetQL model loves Rams +3 against the Packers.
All right, before you go, anything you like you want to give out for this weekend?
Yes, Jets plus 2.5, I like in the London game. Vikings minus 2.5 is the most bet team in terms of tickets and handle at BetMGM this week. And the Jets have won 2 of their last 3, lost by only 1 point last week. And so I would take Jets plus 2.5.
Lucy, you're the best. Always good talking to you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Nick. I will talk to you soon.
I can always count on Lucy to know every little detail about any team that's got any drama. And that's why I appreciate it, because I like to hear all this if I don't have all the details myself. So there you go. I do love the under 36.5 Dolphins Patriots. I mean, the thing is, like, those are two offenses that just don't look like two NFL offenses. Can we be honest with ourselves here? Tua and the Dolphins, when that thing is all put together, Mike McDaniel looks like a genius. He gets all the credit in the world. It's quick. Get the ball out. And nobody has a quicker release. Nobody gets the ball out in under 2.5 seconds on a more consistent basis than Tua does. The problem is, when he's out, they got nobody else that can emulate what he does. And rightfully so. I mean, that's one of the best things that Tua does. Very accurate, able to get the ball out quickly, great through the reads. But, and again, I'll say this every week just to hammer it home. The fact that the Dolphins did not handle their backup quarterback situation in a better, more responsible adult way is organizational malpractice. It is an absolute disaster that they went into the season thinking Skylar Thompson could step in for a quarterback that has an injury history and concussion issues specifically. I get Tua played one season fully and healthy. You can't expect that to happen every single week. Since Tua went down with that concussion in week 2 against the Bills, the Dolphins have scored one touchdown. One touchdown since Tua went down. Tyler Huntley's one-yard run on Monday night is the only touchdown the Dolphins have scored since Tua went down. The Dolphins gave up 142 rushing yards Monday night. We know the Patriots like to run the football. Whether it's Antonio Gibson or Ramondre Stevenson, Gerard Mayo hasn't really tipped his hat exactly what it's going to be, because Ramondre Stevenson is fumbling the ball like crazy, and when you're a running back, you can't fumble the ball. Like, we just get that. These are two teams that are going to have to run and eat clock. And if I'm the Dolphins, I'm definitely taking the ball out of Snoop Huntley's hands, though he's an upgrade over Skylar Thompson. If I'm the Patriots, I know that if I'm down in a game, can't come back. You can't throw yourself back in a game if you're the Patriots, and neither can the Dolphins. So what this game kind of comes down to between Patriots and Dolphins is who gets the lead first and then just eat up clock. Really, this is a bet and forget game for me without question. Although I say that, but I'll be doing Inside the Betting Lines with PJ on Sunday from National Harbor. So the game will be on at least one of the TVs. Though I pray that everybody there will be smart enough to know Dolphins go on the teeny TVs. Not the really big ones, not the big screens. Let's put the Dolphins-Patriots game on the tiny little TVs. But you have to take the under every single week. Any Dolphins game, any Patriots game, and the fact they're playing together, I would probably take the under if that thing was sitting at 30.5. Because it's just two offenses, it's a race to 10. I mean, that's really, they could probably take some of the lights off the scoreboard so it only can illuminate a 1 and not a 2. Because I don't think anybody's going to hit 20 points in that game. That being said, I also like the under in the Jets-Vikings in London, under 40.5. It's different situation here for me, though. It's more about when you get to these spots where teams are traveling internationally, you get out of your rhythm, right? It's one of the big reasons why Thursday night football tends to have levels of inconsistency, teams looking like they've been taken out of their rhythm. Takes a while to get things going because the week is short. It's a similar situation where, listen, I get that these guys are flying a little more luxuriously and they're going to be treated well. Travel still sucks, right? We've all been there. Travel sucks no matter what. Jet lag's a thing. And when teams go over and play in London, the ones that aren't used to it as much get into a spot where they just look like they're struggling. And they look like they're mentally not there yet, or they're not awake. They got a foggy brain, right? You probably, if you're living in a part of the country right now that's had the 2 weeks of just rain and clouds like we've had here on the East Coast, that brain fog that's in there, that's always what one team looks like when it goes over and plays in London. So I'm going to take the under in that too. From the college side of things, Michigan State plus 24.5. Jonathan Smith, their head coach at Michigan State, understands what Oregon, just like his tenure at Oregon State, like he at least saw a lot of Oregon. So he's got a good feel for what that offense looks like, what that team looks like, having seen them more on a regular basis. I'll say this too. Like, Michigan State actually overachieving defensively right now. This is a really good spot for them because Oregon not as explosive offensively at the moment, not to the Oregon levels that we've had before, right? But you got this. You got Ohio State coming up for Oregon. You've got Michigan State who just got blown out by Ohio State. It's kind of feel like one of those games where they overlook them just a little bit. So I'll be honest, I bought the half point, used a little boost, got them at 24.5 for Michigan State. This feels like a good spot tonight where Michigan State could be overlooked and Oregon wins by like 17, maybe even 20, and Michigan State still covers in that. So Houston also under 16.5 for their team total against TCU. We want to talk about bad offenses. Patriots, Dolphins, their offense looks like a juggernaut compared to what Houston is. They've been shut out in back-to-back games. They lost 34-0 to Cincinnati, 20-0 to Iowa State. The program's a mess. The quarterback situation's a mess. They're rebuilding everything. It's a perfect opportunity to take an under 16.5 for a team that maybe scores 10. I mean, they're right there with the Dolphins and Patriots and offenses that you just don't trust right now, like at all. I will throw a WNBA bet in there because I know we only got like a minute left here or so. Sabrina Ionescu over 24.5 points and assists tonight for the Liberty. She's gone over this number 60% of the games this season, 3 of the 4 games in the postseason. And on top of that, she's really good against the Aces. Really, really good. I mean, she's dominated this, gone over in 4 of the last 5 games against the Aces as well. It's a really, really good spot for her. So that's a great over to take. And then one more for this Sunday. In fact, 2 with the same one. In honor of my guy, PJ, we'll be watching the game Sunday together live from National Harbor. I got Ravens -2.5 against Cincinnati. They're starting to figure it out. And Derrick Henry over 83.5 rushing yards. Cincinnati can't stop the run. It's a great, great spot for them to be in.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this pipe?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.